Welcome to the Liberty Beacon Special, and I am your host, Roger Landry, and as everybody knows, because I tell you every time we do one of these shows, this is not a scheduled show. We do this show when we have a guest of importance or a guest who has a message that can't be tied to a schedule. Today is nothing different. As a matter of fact, today I have a gentleman with me who I so enjoy talking to and has such a great message, but let's talk about that a little bit. Today's show, the name of the show is Geoengineering, the biggest and most immediate threat to the continuation of humanity and all life on this planet. Nothing man-made other than a full-scale nuclear war has the ability to destroy all life on this planet quicker and more assuredly than geoengineering. Due to the massive chemical and nano-aluminum particle spraying constantly taking place, humanity has a front-row seat to the high-speed progressive destruction of this biosphere, being the life support system for everything living on this planet. When it fails, so does humanity. Now throw into the destruction of the ozone layer, vital to all life on this planet, and the massive increasing escape of methane long trapped under frigid oceans, and you end up with a scenario straight from the science fiction horror stories that most of us have watched in the past. And this is happening as we speak. Today, we are witnessing massive animal and aquatic die-offs globally. Aluminum-saturated soil poisoning all life it encounters. Fresh water polluted to the point where it is all but undrinkable or unable to support aquatic life. And weather that can no longer be described as anything even close to normal. If we continue to ignore this, we will, in fact, be bequeathing a dying or dead world to our children, a world that they may see the last generation of humanity to exist on this planet. This is not fear-born porn or exaggeration. This, my friends, is frightening reality, and we are facing this today. My guest today is Dane Wigington, founder of Geoengineering Watch, a partner of the Liberty Beacon Project, and one of the most learned, prolific, and dedicated activists on this topic I have ever had the pleasure of being associated with. Well, that's a mouthful, Dane. How are you, my friend?
Thank you, Roger. Thank you for everything you're doing to help get the word out and to prioritize properly, something so many are not yet doing, and we need them to do that. Again, if we have an issue that supersedes all others, an issue which, if it's not dealt with, will make all other points moot, that's the issue we have to focus on.
Well, let me read one line of my intro again. Nothing man-made other than a full-scale nuclear war has the ability to destroy all life on this planet quicker and more assuredly than geoengineering. This is your kickoff point, my friend. Take it in any direction you wish.
On that statement, many people might stand back and question that. And by what rationale would you come to that conclusion? But the rationale is actually quite simple. One, from a biosphere standpoint, there is no more all-encompassing assault on the entire web of life and no more immediate assault than climate engineering, short of nuclear cataclysm, as you stated. It's shredding the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, contaminating the entire planet. It's literally shredding the web of life. And to take it even closer to home, for each and every one of us, every single breath we take is laden with these particulates. They're bioavailable. As we know from international experts like Dr. Russell Blaylock, it's absorbed through our lung lining into our bloodstream, and here's the cell receptors. How many people, Roger, do you know that are having a great deal of respiratory trouble? They're sick. They can't get better. Every other commercial is an asthma commercial, an allergy medication commercial. I mean, it's virtually an insane asylum we're living in now, that we're all living, breathing, working in these incredibly toxic conditions, and the population is oblivious. And if we go on exposed to this material, we're not only going to lose our health, we're not going to be thinking clearly for much longer, which means we can't deal with anything. So from every direction, climate engineering is the issue that we must deal with, or nothing else will matter.
Well, you say it so eloquently. I put this in so many shows over and over again. Let's take one evil portion of these fallout, this fallout from geoengineering or the spraying that's being done. And you know how I feel about the aluminum nanoparticles. So we are breathing this aluminum. This aluminum is saturating our soil, and the genetically modified crops have been modified to live in aluminum-saturated soil, which doesn't exist naturally. Aluminum is one of the most abundant metals on the planet, but it doesn't exist in the state, in soil, in enough abundance to kill off plant life. What we are seeing is, especially in the areas where geoengineering is concentrated on the heaviest, we are seeing the plant life suffering. So now we are eating this stuff in our food. We are breathing this stuff in the air. We are getting aluminum as an adjuvant in our vaccines. Aluminum is deadly to the brain and the central nervous system. It dumbs you down. It slaughters brain cells, and once brain damage occurs, there's no going back. There's no way to repair it. So, yes, you put that very eloquently, but you can get away from eating that food. You can get away from getting a vaccine, but you have to breathe.
That's exactly right. And this is where, again, with the human organism, it's very resilient, as nature is very resilient. But once the breaking point is reached, and I would argue available data indicates we are reaching that breaking point both in the biosphere in regard to human health, once that saturation point is reached, breakdown can ensue quickly. And in fact, we're starting to see this now with respiratory mortality off the charts, respiratory ailments off the charts, and all the diseases that we associate with these heavy metals, which is about everything,
Dane,
that we've identified. Yes.
Let me jump in for a second because, again, you make such an eloquent point. If you, and I dare anybody out there, I don't challenge you, I dare you to Google this. Which country on this planet has the highest level of cognitive dysfunction? Brain damage, being Alzheimer's, being ADHD, being autism, being, and I could go on. We suffer the highest levels on this planet. And if you think that aluminum, again, I will go back to that, which is a very large component within this spraying being used, quote unquote, to reflect sunlight and cool the planet. Hey, we live in a gravity well, right, Dane? What goes up must come down and you will breathe it. We suffer the highest level of cognitive dysfunction on the planet.
This is where the population's delusion that business as usual is going to go on much longer is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, from so many directions, the fossil fuel fiesta that we've known, in the words of James Kunstler, is coming to a screeching halt. We've trashed the planet, and you know, no greater method than climate engineering is the epitome of human insanity. People need to realize we're in a fight for life, absolutely right here, right now. People's attempt to deny this is not going to save them. So, Roger, we hope, you know, my goal is to simply get people to move the ball forward every single day. Don't sit around looking at data without doing anything with it. You have to do something with it, or there's no point in having it. People have to put the rubber to the road.
Well, speaking of doing something with it, you were at a seminar not too long ago, and I know this is something you wish to discuss, so I'm opening the door for you, Dane.
Well, on that note, again, given the paradigm that we live in with a climate science community that is completely failing, criminally failing the population that they claim to serve, in total denial of climate engineering, which is absolutely inarguably happening above our heads every single day. Last Friday, I had meetings with Guy McPherson. He's a scientist from UC, Arizona. He's quite well known internationally. He is probably giving the most dire assessment of all on the state of the climate and the immediacy of the cataclysms that we face. On that point, I would agree with Mr. McPherson, but that's where my agreement stops. And his denial of the climate engineering issue is so profound. We had a roundtable meeting in the morning, again, a week ago today. There were two retired biologists with me, one former Fish and Game, one former U.S. Forest Service. The Fish and Game biologist is also a retired U.S. military meteorologist. We had a roundtable discussion. We had our videographer there. We had three cameras going. Guy McPherson wanted to meet with me before this roundtable started. he was clearly extremely anxious about this meeting. It seemed very clear he didn't even want to discuss the issue of geoengineering. Staff or assistants were treating him with incredible delicacy, as if they were walking on eggshells. When he came into this meeting and we discussed, and everybody at the meeting was trying to be very careful of Guy, which should not have to be the case, but we discussed tree mortality, we discussed global dimming, my background in solar, and being in an off-grid home that was the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. I know firsthand how much solar power I'm losing from whatever these aircraft are emitting. I know firsthand from my testing, 30-plus tests at the state-certified lab, how much metal's coming down on us. The biologists attempted to share their data, Roger, and these are highly qualified individuals. In fact, the Forest Service biologist with credentials considerably longer than Guy's, he didn't want to hear any of it, none of it. In fact, he became increasingly uncomfortable, no matter how diplomatic everybody tried to be, until he walked out of the room. You could hear he was upset in another room of this location we were at, and his assistants came out and told us that we would not be allowed to show that film. The film was destroyed. What kind of a truth seeker is that? Here's a scientist who claims to be, he's going to tour the globe, in fact, going to Europe next year. His message, or his stated mission, is to share the whole truth with the public about the state of the climate, and yet he refuses to look at the truth in regard to the single greatest factor affecting the climate. What kind of truth seeker is that, I would ask?
Well, I think you would probably agree, and I know you'd, you don't tend into a lot of these areas, but what we are seeing is that so much of the truth is being hidden from us. Again, we are not only the most geoengineered society on the planet, we're the most drugged society on the planet. And we have the highest fatality rate for drugs in what we consider to be the most or the best healthcare system on the planet. We suffer from a definite lack of truth from all of our leaders, whether it's geoengineering, whether it's health, whether it's political tyranny. In 1981, okay, the head of the CIA, William Casey, made a comment that applies directly to everything we're talking about today. And that comment, yes, I have proven that he actually made this comment. That comment was, "We will know that our program of disinformation is a success when everything the American people believe is false."
I'll continue there. Using Guy McPherson as an example. So after this roundtable, there's a presentation, public presentation that night in Chico. As we had to go find a new film card for our camera because they took ours, I got a call from Professor McPherson. He wanted to meet me again privately before the meeting. We met, and in a rather defensive stance, I whether he thought he was trying to intimidate me or what, I don't know, he said, "Geoengineering is not going on." I said, "It's absolutely going on, Guy. We have film footage of it happening. KC-10s, KC-135 spraying at altitude." He looked again and said, "No, you don't." What kind of a statement is that? That I don't have what I do have? It's been posted for the world to see for a very long time. So then he proceeded, Roger, to say that if I chose to believe in the quote, and I'm quoting verbatim, he said, "If I chose to believe in the flying spaghetti monster, that doesn't mean that he had to." My response to that was this. We have the entire world discussing climate engineering. Governments around the globe, we have historical data going back 65 years, we have lab tests, we have film footage of it happening, the entire climate science community is discussing geoengineering. On what grounds could he use such an incredibly inappropriate term, to which he had no response to this?
Can I?
Please.
Can I interject something on that? Okay, I published an article not too long ago titled "Willie Way Hawk Soon, Physicist and Climate Change Skeptic Funded by Big Oil." All right, now, if you wish to determine how corrupt any entity is, follow the funding or follow the money. Now, I am not aware of Mr. McPherson on a level you are. I'm going to ask a question. You can refuse to answer it. You can tell me you don't know. You can say anything you wish. But has anybody traced back the funding?
Not that I know of,
receives?
But what I do know of Guy, I would say.
Because what he's saying, Dane, what he's saying is, I'm willing to recognize 50% of the picture, but I will close my eyes to the other 50%. Well, let me explain something to you. Those two 50% make 100%. It is an entire picture. And when you refuse to see half of the picture, what half you are saying is a lie.
In the case of Guy McPherson, this is my opinion, not something I know for certain, but my opinion. I believe Guy is doing something that he wants to imagine himself as some sort of guru at the delivery of the message of doom for the human race. And that is his message, by the way. His message is this: all of us are going to die very shortly. We should sit down and come to grips with that. And that's the end of his message. So I believe he imagines himself as some in this sort of position. And that's perhaps his driving force in this case. I don't know of any funding he gets. In fact, it doesn't seem that there's a lot coming in because the power structure is probably quite happy with his message as it is, so no need to pay him anymore perhaps. But I do believe he might be worried about his pension and paycheck from UC Arizona, but that's my own opinion. But again, a half-truth is a lie, exactly as you stated, Roger.
Well, I would agree with you. And here we sit on a precipice. We are literally teetering. If we go backwards, we fall into a chasm that is so deep we'll never recover. If we move forward, what we have right now with the immensity of what we face is a battle we may never win. But we are the human race, and our strength has always been our ability to overcome adversity, our ability to overcome what puts humanity itself, the threat of the continued existence of humanity itself, the ability to react against it. So let's turn just a little bit before, and I really want to get to the methane subject, but let's discuss for a few minutes here, what do you see as something we should be or could be doing, and what's the window of opportunity?
The time horizon is short. What everybody could be doing.
Okay, can you define that just a little bit? Because when I published an article and you so graciously put it on geoengineeringwatch.org, and I want everybody listening to this to go to that website. It has a virtual plethora of great information. When I published that, there's a gentleman on there that said the gun has already been fired.
In regard to the methane clathrate situation, that is correct. We have methane expelling in the lap tip. See latest observations from that arena or that region witnessed methane plumes 150 kilometers wide. The methane is expelling now. So in that sense, we are past the point of any return to the planet we've known. In regard to how soon our reality collapses, I would argue this. At the moment in time, a majority or a critical mass of the population realizes the reality they have imagined is not going to happen, and panic sets in. Our reality changes on that day. Power structure is trying desperately to hide this. That's why they have so much control over the denial going on with climate engineering. And again, the market's being pumped up. We have global conflict starting to brew because the power structure at the point in time when they're fully exposed, they will play whatever cards they have. And I would argue we're very close to that time. So even though the planet may support life for still a number of years to some degree, once the power structure is backed completely into a corner, and I would argue they're just about there, they're going to start playing some very big cards, Roger. And we see that shaping up in the geopolitical arena right now. So I would argue we don't have very much time in this paradigm. I would be frankly surprised if we reach the end of this year without some very, very major paradigm shifts.
Well, what we are seeing, and this is a little bit off topic, but actually it's not. What we are seeing in Russia today and in the United States today via Google Earth, you can take a look at what we can call DUMs in this country or deep underground military bases and their counterparts in Russia. And what you can see is massive traffic to those facilities in both countries. What we are seeing is that this country and Russia are on the verge of another global war or World War III. What we can see is that all that's left is for somebody to make a stupid mistake or to mistake an order, and this entire globe will be thrown into a war that humanity may never recover from. So do I see what you're saying? Yes, the power structure is definitely aware that societies across the planet are waking up to what is being perpetrated and perpetuated against us. We are awakening to this. And the only recourse this power structure will have to maintain any semblance of their power is...
It is, and there are many factors propelling things to this incredibly volatile tipping point. One of those factors, we saw the headlines yesterday, Arctic sea ice is now at all-time record low extent. It's record low mass, and the maximum for the ice extent this year was reached at a record early date. So as people realize the headlines they've been fed that the ice is expanding and all this sort of completely false data, as they realize that's not true, and they start asking other questions, perhaps about what's happening in our skies, like climate engineering, as the curtain begins to be pulled back and the power structure begins to be exposed, they will have to play their cards. They become more dangerous than they have ever been before, and that's starting to happen. If we have a blue ocean event at the end of the summer, which is possible, that the ice pack may completely blow apart. Once it becomes so thin, its integrity is lost, and it can blow apart quite easily. If that happens, I would argue this. At the point in time we have a blue water event in the Arctic, ice pack blows apart, then they won't be able to hide climate engineering, which means they have to start playing big cards, because once the population realizes they've all been a part of this grand and lethal experiment, which has irreparably damaged their health, they will be taken to the streets to find who's responsible. And I would argue we're close to that point.
Well, I have read a lot of stuff you have written, and one of the things that plays right into this is once the ice pack disappears, and what most people don't seem to understand is the vital role this ice pack plays. What it does is it reflects sunlight. Without the ice, the water absorbs the heat that the ice pack would normally reflect. Now, once you get rid of the ice and the water starts to absorb this heat, it raises the temperature of the water, which will exacerbate the release of this methane that has been stored at the bottom of these frigid oceans for a very, very long time. There will be no cap on the bottle. There will be nothing reflecting that sunlight away and helping to retain the frigid temperatures at the depths that this methane is stored at. And I truthfully believe, and tell me if I'm wrong, Dane, because you're much more learned on this than I am. I'm the GP, you're the expert. I think that the biggest threat humanity faces today is not a nuclear war. The biggest threat we face today is a massive
methane. You are mathematically correct. On the current trajectory, if we do not change courses completely, it's a mathematical certainty that we face near-term extinction based on the amount of methane that is in those regions and its effect on the atmosphere. So that...
Well, let me butt in, because I'm going to read something you wrote, and I really thought it was important enough to put into my article. Okay, and this paragraph starts with: a great source and contributor to the Liberty Beacon Project, Dane Wigington of Geoengineering Watch, please visit that site, states that CH4, methane, is 20 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than CO2 over a 100-year time horizon. We don't have that much time. Over a 10-year horizon, CH4, methane, is 100 to 120 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. And over a 30 to 60-day horizon, it can be as much as 1,000 times worse than CO2. And everybody's scrambling around like chickens with their heads cut off, saying the CO2 is going to cause global warming. When we face a massive and imminent and massive release of a gas that has 1,000 times the ability to snuff out life on this planet.
That's correct. And this is where, again, is correct. And when you see the climate science community again, one, the complete omission of the climate engineering insanity in our skies, that there is a mountain of data in every form, as I already stated, to corroborate this existence of what we obviously see with our own eyes. Two, when the climate science community refers to methane, they always refer to it being 20 times more potent over the 100-year time horizon. They always omit. In fact, this is the paradox, Roger. We have so many people who feel the IPCC, the largest scientific panel on any subject in human history, they feel their data is wrong, and they're correct about that. But here's the paradox. The data is wrong in the opposite direction of what most people want to believe. The situation is far more dire and far more immediate than any of these mainstream science groups have admitted to. And of course, they're not admitting to climate science or to climate engineering either. So from every direction, the public is being completely pacified while we're all literally in free fall into certain extinction. So, I mean, the climate science community from every direction has failed society in vaccinations, mainstream medicine, of course, but nowhere more so than the climate science community that has failed to tell the truth, just like McPherson has failed to tell the truth.
Well, let's put this into context, because when I put that paragraph into my article, one of the comments I got back was, okay, so over 30 to 60 days, it can be as much as 1,000 times as more dangerous than CO2. But that's only 30 to 60 days. Let me explain something to everybody listening. If you have a massive enough release, which I believe at the present, on the present path we are walking down or running down, is imminent. If we have a massive release to that extent, over 60 days, 1,000 times the strength of CO2 as a greenhouse gas, that 60 days will be enough to suffocate off a lot of life on this planet.
Well, it is. We already may see that happening. As this positive feedback loop begins to pick up momentum, we're getting reports, Roger, of the rotten egg smell happening in Seattle, happened in the first of the year. I've gotten some reports from along the California coast. This is indicative of,
yes,
of CS2, of hydrogen sulfide release that can come with methane release off the seabed. Hydrogen sulfide is heavier than air. It sits on the surface. So as that drifts into populated areas, the damages or the potential dangers are horrific. And we're seeing the kind of die-off we're seeing off the California coast, of which there are many causes, I don't deny. We have Fukushima. We have the U.S. Navy practicing with depleted uranium ammunition. But we also have potential seabed gassing going on, and we are getting reports that seem to match what we would expect with this. So when we start building up hydrogen sulfide on the surface, the whole system starts to feed on itself. And with the loss of ice, as you mentioned, the loss of albedo, and to give people that in mathematical terms, the ice reflects about 90% of the sun's incoming thermal energy. The dark seawater absorbs about 90%. It's a complete flip of the equation. So everything starts to magnify and feed in itself, and this propels us on what's known as Venus syndrome.
Yes, and anybody who doesn't understand what he means by the Venus syndrome, Venus is one of the it's a picture-perfect hothouse planet.
It is. In fact, For those who think that Venus is 900 degrees on the surface because of its proximity to the sun, this is not the case. All things being equal, Venus would be about 20 to 25 degrees warmer than Earth. Venus, based on latest studies, was believed to have oceans. It's underwent a runaway greenhouse effect. That's why it's 900 degrees on the surface. And once this effect gains too much momentum, it can't be stopped. And this is where climate engineering, again, when those members of the climate science community are still not only blindly denying the ongoing climate engineering programs, but somehow in their incredible arrogance, thinking they're going to tech their way out of the damage already done to the planet by doing even more insane programs. This is where the failure of the science community is so incredibly epic. Geoengineering is helping to cause the methane release. It certainly can't mitigate it. We know climate engineering has altered upper level wind currents. That's altered ocean currents. We now have warm water pumping straight into the Arctic, which is helping to thaw methane. Again, how could such complex systems be interfered with without a total disaster ensuing? And that's exactly what we see. It's the shredded ozone layer is killing plankton. global plankton stocks now down 50, 60%.
Oh, let's stop right there, because another thing most people don't understand is a massive amount of the oxygen produced on this planet is not by the green plants. It comes from these microorganisms that live in the ocean. You kill them off.
We're done. 50 to 60% of the Earth's oxygen supply comes from plankton. So now, again, with climate engineering, the ocean yes. continues to acidify. I did an article recently, which kills plankton as well, on top of the UV radiation. An article I recently did, having found peer-reviewed study that on the proposal to use toxic industrial steel processing slag as a form of ocean iron fertilization, it appears that it's quite possible. Not only are they using this toxic material for SRM, solar radiation management, spraying these particles in the side to block in the sky to block the sun, but they are also perhaps quite likely using this type of material so that when it settles to the surface of the ocean, it becomes ocean iron fertilization. So from every direction, the planet's natural systems are being completely thwarted. Yes, they can create a plankton bloom with iron oxide distributed in the oceans, but that then creates an anoxic or a hypoxic zone, low oxygen or no oxygen zone. We have 400 plus dead zones around the planet right now. Those are expanding. We have that causes the ocean to acidify even faster, which kills it even faster. From every direction, these programs, Roger, are the most insane pharmaceutical cure for planet Earth that could ever be concocted.
Well, let's talk about one that you and I discussed not too long ago, and I'm referring back to the article that I had written. And let's talk about those in charge, those are perpetrating and perpetuating these, and I have to say, evil programs. They wish to keep us fooled. They wish to have us believe that the globe is not warming. In fact, we're heading towards an ice age. And in order to do that, they perform or produce artificial scenarios such as a polar vortex. Okay, a polar vortex, when it's created, especially if it's created artificially, draws warm air away from the Arctic area and forces it down into central North America. And they not only have done this in the United States, but they've done this over Europe and other places across the planet. Well, let me explain something to everybody listening. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. If you draw the cold air away from the Arctic areas to display to the ignorant masses, not stupid, ignorant as in lack of knowledge, masses in North America saying, look how cold it is, look how much snow you have, global warming's a farce. When you have drawn that cold air from the Arctic, along the back end of it, warm air must flood in. And when that happens, what you have done is artificially raised the temperature in the Arctic areas and facilitated a quickening of the melting of the ice. And when you melt the ice, the reflectivity goes away and the ocean absorbs more heat and more methane is released. So what you just said, Dane, is so apropos, because everything they're trying to do to show us that we are in fact cooling, not warming, is in fact having more drastic ramifications.
Everything you said.
Would you agree?
Exactly correct. And finally, yesterday on Weather Channel, they showed the same maps that I show in my articles again and again and again, the GISS departure from normal temperature ground maps, which show the coldest, the most anomalously cold place in the entire world for the entire 2014 year and continuing into this year is the eastern part of the U.S. lower 48. Now, how can that be? How can that be so anomalously cold in a planet that on the rest of the map is bright red? It's for exactly the reason you stated. They pulled the cold air south, so at points in time 2 weeks ago when we had below zero temperatures in the eastern U.S., we had temperatures that were some 35 and 40 degrees above those U.S. temperatures within 100 miles of the North Pole. Now, how can this be?
I live in northern Montana, 30 miles as the crow flies from the Canadian border, and just due to the natural okay, airflow. This is one of the coldest spots in the country, including a lot of southern Alaska. We are here, one of the coldest spots in this country. You're mentioning 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we hit 72 degrees. This is northern Montana.
In between those fluctuations,
that's
you
insanity.
Had some deep dips, correct? So this is the...
Oh, yes. Oh,
This is the weather whiplash that's created from exactly the phenomena you mentioned, the quote polar vortex, which is nothing more than a manipulation of a jet stream, pulling that cold air from the Arctic. The warm air rushes back in. And now we see, let's give a scenario, Roger. In 2012, when the ice pack almost collapsed for the reasons that we've just stated, they had to then lock that cold air up in the Arctic to try to keep the ice pack from completely imploding. And so what did we see when they do that in the lower 48? 2012 was the warmest year on record in the lower 48 by far, 50,000 plus high temperature records set, 362 all-time highs set in 2012, zero record lows. How fast people forget that, and how incredibly willing they are to accept these geoengineered cool downs with snow that's falling at often 40 degrees, 45 degrees. The temperatures eventually cool down on the ground as they create a cold, dense layer that sits on the ground, but the scenario in the eastern U.S. could not be more engineered. I challenge anybody, look at the data, look at the maps that we have on geoengineeringwatch.org. It will absolutely shock you, the blatant, glaring, anomalous cold zone in the eastern U.S. that is completely contradictory to the rest of the world.
Well, I'm going to throw a curveball at you, but I'm sure you can handle it quite well. What about the 31,000 scientists that signed on board saying that this is all in our heads?
I challenge
all
anyone.
Tinfoil hat wearers.
Find a single name. Find a single name that signed that petition. Find one. Find a single name from that completely fictitious petition that doesn't exist. I challenge anyone to find a single name as a signature on that petition. It's completely false, but people pick that up and they run with it. And
it's been thrown in my face every time I write or repost one of your articles. It gets thrown in my face. So you're smarter than 31,000 scientists. So you've got more information than 31,000 scientists. And I had to bring that up in this show because we need to dispel the ignorance that is centered around that. Again, not the stupidity, because in a lot of cases, you can only make or you can only formulate an opinion on the information that is made available to you. So this is something we need to talk about right now, Dane, because I'm tired of getting that thrown in my face.
Well, again, this is where people grab onto anything to fortify what they want to believe. People don't want to believe the planet is irreparably damaged. They don't want to believe the fossil fuel fiesta is over, but it is. Industrialized society was always unsustainable, and people should not have to struggle too hard to realize you can't expand perpetually on a finite planet with finite resources. What we put into the air stays into the air. It doesn't float out into space. We're putting 100 million tons of CO2 a day into the air. That is a massive problem. Climate engineering is an even bigger problem. People simply need to stop thinking in dichotomous ways, Roger. They want to think it's either this or that. But again, it's this, that, and a lot of other things. It's a complex equation we face. But when people start running with those headlines, as you just mentioned, those are completely fictitious. When people talk about the fact that the planet's not warming, we just passed the 38th consecutive year of above normal global temperatures. And we have above normal temperatures with temperature readings that are being blatantly lied about. A friend of mine with Union of Concerned Scientists measured in Northern California over a six-month period, saw a 4.6 degree discrepancy from the official reading to the actual reading. Not an over-reporting, but an under-reporting. What does that mean? It means it's a hell of a lot hotter than we are being told. And people should stop looking at headlines. Don't believe me. Certainly don't believe the completely bogus headlines like the 31,000 scientists. Think for yourself. Look at data from the ground. Look at images of ice sheets like you can see on Chasing Ice, the film Chasing Ice. Look for yourself. Decide for yourself. Think for yourself. And get rid of your biases and your preconceptions. We face an immensely dire situation. We all better get a correct compass heading and start marching in this fight in the right direction, or we have no chance.
Well, I would like to bring something even more blatant and something people can see if they would just look. I'm landlocked here in the middle of North America, stuck in Montana, so far from any huge body of water, but the rest of my entire life, 58 years of it, or about 57 and a half, was spent on a coast somewhere, either on the Pacific coast or the Atlantic coast or somewhere, okay? I can remember as a child the beaches I went to not too far from my house where I had to walk from the beach house or the snack bar or wherever. I had to walk the length of 2 football fields to get to the water. Today, I can go to these exact same places, and the water is licking on the pylons at the bottom of the snack bar. So we are talking about a rise in ocean levels that anybody who grew up along the ocean cannot ignore. This is a fact. No, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over 50, 60 years. But the fact remains that it's not happening for nothing.
You can't get rising sea levels, Dane, from expanding. That's right. And here's where it comes down to the more basic. You can't have frozen methane deposits releasing around the globe on a cooling planet. They don't thaw on a cooling planet. And this goes back a long way, Roger, the Bermuda Triangle situation, which most people may not realize. This is methane release. This is the accepted phenomenon that's happened there, that these fields of methane that were formerly frozen and captured on the seafloor have been thawing and releasing for a very long time. So when methane releases from the seabed, it aerates the water like a bottle of champagne. If it releases underneath a ship or a vessel, that ship will go to the bottom intact, and that's exactly what's happened. So now we have massive methane fields releasing again in the East Laptev Sea of the Arctic. There's enough methane in that particular region, it's felt mathematically, to cause a Permian-style mass extinction 100 times over. So on this current course, I stress this, we must change course starting with the stopping of climate engineering. But on this current course, if we don't change course, it's a mathematical certainty that we have a very short time horizon in front of all of us. People must wake up.
Well, I'm going to say something I don't know if you're willing to say, and you can disassociate yourself with it if you please, but there are actually people out there, and I can present you with a video from a gentleman who I believe has some knowledge on this, stating that this could be terminal within the next 4 to 5 years.
Mathematically, in the current trajectory, that's a very real possibility. And to put one.
And it is your doomsayer, who I agree with everything you've said about this gentleman. It is Dr. Guy McPherson, who is, again, the harbinger of doom, the angel of death, who is basically stating that we could be as close as 4 to 5 years from the termination of humanity.
On those points, I would agree with Dr. McPherson. And here's where I would depart, and I'll finish what happened at the conference very briefly. After he showed a film of himself, didn't even present live, in spite of people that came clear from the East Coast to see him, he wouldn't allow questions. He had people sign cards, which his moderator then screened, so you couldn't ask a question. I got up, asked a question, because I paid for the auditorium he was in, so I couldn't be kicked out of that auditorium. I paid for it out of my own pocket, for his facility, for this presentation, so that I couldn't be asked to leave. So I asked a question anyway, because I felt I had it right. And I had Guy admit on the record that he can't say that this isn't happening. And I have that on film, and I'll put that film up here shortly. And after I asked that question, his own assistant, I think triggered by my question, stood up and made the announcement that she knew climate engineering was happening. She had done more than enough research, and Guy, I'm sure, was very limited at this. Yes, and I've since spoken to his other two assistants privately, who also admitted the same. So how is it that a man like Guy McPherson can tell a half-truth and try to strip any hope away from people who still have a chance? If there's one thing we can do that would be a quantum leap in the right direction, that may give us some light at the end of the tunnel, it would be to expose and stop the single most environmentally destructive factor ever initiated by the human race, global climate engineering. How can a man like Guy McPherson, who claims to be on a mission to share the truth, completely omit the biggest part of the truth of all?
And I will take that one step further. If it is as a result of him fearing for his pension or whatever, and yet he is claiming that we may only have a few years left on this planet.
Well, again,
why is he worried about his pension?
But this is where I would lean back in the other direction.
That was a joke,
I feel that he wants to see himself as a certain actor in this play, and perhaps that's the messenger of unavoidable doom, and perhaps that's a larger driving force for him. So I can't say. This is my own opinion.
Well, you can only be, I agree, but if you can only be famous for another 2 or 3 years why worry about fame at all?
Roger, I mean, I see a lot of people behaving in ways that I'm completely baffled by, people who claim to be in the fight to expose climate engineering and yet doing a lot of things that are very counterproductive to that cause. So, you know, I see a lot of people behaving in ways that are less than rational.
Okay. I would like to, we've got probably, I don't know, about 10, 15 minutes left here. I would like to open the floor to you to get out any recent or pertinent information that we haven't covered at this point. And if I have something to add, I will let you know. But please, whatever you've been working on lately, whatever you've discovered, and also you stated you were going to put a video up here real soon. This will also be included along with an article, and this will be published as an article with the MP3 across all of the Liberty Beacon websites globally. Because as you and I so aptly put, global engineering is not an American issue. We do not have a patent on global engineering.
There's certainly collaboration going on between all the major powers on this issue. That's why all the major powers cover each other on this issue. Nobody's exposing the other, because each country's population will absolutely, I believe, go ballistic when they find out what's been done. And the further they invest themselves in this insanity, each country, the more committed they are to it, the more they are determined not to turn back, no matter how much cataclysm shows up from these programs, they keep moving forward. To those.
Well, if a lie becomes so big, then it
in
eventually.
In many ways, that's true. In fact,
does
a cancer intend to kill its host? No, but it simply only is able to respond to its own desire to continue expanding. And that's exactly what we have here. So for those listeners that are paralyzed with distraught feelings on what's happening, the way you find solace is to commit yourself firmly to trying to change direction on this. And if no matter how dark the horizon is, again, if we know we can take a quantum leap in the right direction, not just for the environment, but to expose the power structure for all that they have done, from 9/11 to a list of atrocities so long we wouldn't know where to start. If there's one catalyzing issue that would unite populations in a common cause, regardless of their color, regardless of their spiritual orientation, this is the cause. We have all. Yes.
Regardless of their politics, because this is not a political issue. This is an issue that, I don't know, it culminates in the destruction
of the
human race.
Components of this can be learned easily by those who want to share information. What's this all about? Ultimately, it's about power and control. What's happening? It's programs that are making an already bad climate situation exponentially worse and contaminating the entire planet in the process. There's been no disclosure, no oversight. There's basic building block bits of information that everyone can learn to help them share this data. If you pass on credible data to others, again, this is very important to pass on credible data. I'm going to the Capitol next week, be my fourth trip there to do this, to every representative's office, every senator's office, every committee office, to leave DVDs, flyers, and informational cards with the staffs of those governmental employees or representatives in order to start spot fires of awareness. Because, again, what's different about climate engineering than any other issue, it's affecting every single one of us equally. It's something we cannot hide from. It is very rapidly destroying the planet's ability to sustain life. It's destroying our health. It's destroying our ability to think clearly. Once people wake up to that, they'll join the fight. But we have to plant those seeds of awareness. And that's what a lot of, quote, activists are not yet doing. They're sitting on the bench and wallowing in their own misery. Get up off the bench and start marching. Start helping us in this fight. Arm yourself with credible data. Learn about this issue. Take your compass setting every day, because this is another problem. As you mentioned earlier, Roger, people are moving forward with an impression they have of a certain reality that they've never bothered to adjust with new data. You have to constantly take in new data, adjust your compass heading, make sure you have the right conclusions based on solid information, and share that information with others. Start spot fires everywhere so that we can reach critical mass of awareness, because we don't have any time to spare.
If you are relying and depending on data that is 5, 10 years old, let me explain something to you. Any good scientist will tell you that science is not exact. Let me explain that to you. About, 50 years ago, scientists thought that the smallest component or building block that existed was the atom. Today, we know that the atom is made up of subatomic particles much smaller than the atom, and those particles are made up of even smaller particles. So, what this tells you is that your science that you're relying on, that you're depending on, that's 5-10 years old, could be absolutely wrong. At the time, it was groundbreaking. At the time, it was mind-bending. But listen to Dane, because we learn new things every single day. Science has been proved wrong every single day. And your first stop on your quest to update your information, I will say this again, is geoengineeringwatch.org. Dane goes out of his way to ensure that everything that goes up on that valuable site is proven. Now, I will tell you, and most of you have heard me say this, I don't challenge you to prove me wrong. I dare you to prove me wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, every time I discuss or every time I write an article concerning the situation we're being faced with called geoengineering, I go to geoengineeringwatch.org and I make sure the information I'm putting out exists on that site. Because I have the faith, if I find it there, I'm not traveling down the wrong path.
If I can give one example of this, Roger, when I was discussing the ice cap in 2012 and the fact that it was at that point headed downhill rapidly, and then people saw all the subsequent media reports in 2013 that the ice cap had increased 50%. Here's how they came up with that headline. They took 2012, when the ice cap almost disappeared, there was a 50% increase in the surface area, not the mass. The mass was still declined 80%, but a 50% in what they consider surface area, which, by the way, is only areas of ocean that have 15% or ice or more. So 50% increase on almost nothing is still not much. And that's where they came up with that headline. So people believed, oh, the ice is expanding. It was a total lie. So now if people continue to look at the data, I challenge any of your listeners, search that online today. Search Arctic ice at record low, and you'll find mainstream coverage everywhere, coverage from every scientific institution, because you can't hide this any longer. So all those spun headlines that were merely a manipulation of facts and figures and percentages were total lies. And if people are still marching forward with those total lies, then they're on totally the wrong track. So you have to look at the data every day. We were right in 2012, and we're right today. But in between, we had a lot of lies and a lot of manipulated figures. That's why people have to look at their information every single day.
Did you know, and I'm sure you do, I said that more for the audience than for you, Dane, that the initial push... there was an initial push by the oil companies and large corporate cabals many, many years ago to intentionally de-ice vast majority of the Arctic for exploration and drilling for oil. This was an intention. They were intentionally trying to de-ice fully unaware of the global ramifications of what they were doing.
It was discussed. Yeah, that's correct. And that
people
go back and look at that as proof that they're intentionally melting the Arctic. But if we look at the pile mass, the ice extent charts, for example, in 2007, when the ice imploded most radically for the first time, and we saw a radical increase in geoengineering, and the ice extent, again, the surface area, expanded inexplicably. The climate science community was scratching their heads as to how that ice surface area could have possibly expanded. Radical geoengineering efforts. Again, a short-term cooling at the cost of a worsened overall warming, just like we see in the eastern U.S. But we see that there was definitely intent to try to cap that because the reasons you just stated. Because in the interim period from decades back when this was discussed, they had long since learned and understood that if they allowed this to happen, it would release the methane, game over on planet Earth. So this is, again, where people can't look back at something four decades ago and use that as a sort of validity to some theory they have today. You have to look at all the data. They're certainly trying to, very toxically and destructively, they're trying to maintain what ice is left in the Arctic at the cost of killing the rest of the planet if they have to. And what they're doing in order to try to hide the symptom is actually making it worse. Just like the pharmaceutical drugs, Roger, that we see every day, we'll see a commercial that take this for that. And by the way, here's a list of 25 things that are far worse than what you're trying to help.
And if you switch to another channel, you're just as likely to see a law firm talking about a class action suit about the drug they were just trying to sell you on the other channel.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, and you know, I listen to these drug commercials, a woman can't sleep, okay? So they talk about this drug she can take, and then they list the side effects, which could be cancer, which could be kidney failure, which could be death, which could be, tendencies towards suicide, which could... Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I can't sleep, the last thing I'm going to do is take a drug that may cause me to commit suicide, may give me cancer, may kill me, may kill my kidneys. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? But people don't listen to that part of the commercial. They look at the beautiful woman with the air blowing through her hair and the fact that she's laying down on this pillow and she's in such blissful sleep. And everything else is forgotten. And this is how so many of these lies, including geoengineering, are being sold to us.
What people must find the strength to face is that the reality we've known is over. It's ending by the day. The sooner we face that, the sooner we try to change directions and adjust, starting with the stopping of climate engineering, the more chance we will have at salvaging something. And those who claim to love their children, Roger, and who go about their lives and their personal pursuit of pleasure while this is going on, I would question what kind of love that is. We have a responsibility to our children. We have a responsibility to the common good, to engage in the fight for the common good with every bit of energy that we can muster. And we don't have much time. So again, I would stress to people that if you're, an example I use, if you're standing in the middle of the interstate, are you better off turning your back to traffic or facing it? The answer is clear, right? We have to face these issues head on, period.
Well, I have put out a comment. I put them on pictures I call memes. But one of the comments I put out is the litmus test. What is the litmus test of a generation? Will my children have the same rights and freedoms I had? Will my children be able to live a better life, financially sound life than I was able to live? And will I leave my children a planet that is, that will support them, that will they'll be able to survive on? If the answer to any one of those three is wrong, then we have failed as the gatekeepers for the up-and-coming generation. Right now, and if I'm playing on your conscience, I'm doing this intentionally, we are the biggest failures of any generation
in the existence of this country.
Well, we have about 2 minutes, Dane. I would like you to give any sort of a wrap-up you'd like to give. Please mention your website and any other forms you feel
I would ask
people need to visit.
To get at least a basic understanding of this issue, a clear understanding, and try to adjust that understanding as new data comes out. Arm yourself with credible data. Don't just approach your acquaintances or other people and point at the sky and rant. That doesn't help. Pass on credible data. We have flyers on geoengineeringwatch.org. We'll have small informational cards soon there. You can download either of those for free, print them in your area. Use other tools. There's a website called skideralert.com. That's an interactive website. I know the person who's put that site together. He's put a lot into this cause. That's a website that you can alert your local politicians. You can photograph what you see in the sky. It will send this pictures to them. You can send them a message. Use this. It is a good site. So
that's
use
a good
these
site.
Tools.
That
learn how to use
site.
These tools. Learn how to deliver the message. You don't need to go into a big, long rant about details you don't yet understand. Just simply state, these programs are going on. The government's not disclosing it. The media is not disclosing it. It's extremely dire. Please investigate. Just start spot fires of awareness everywhere. If we could simply reach critical mass where the media can no longer hide this, where governmental representatives who are bought, sold, and paid for can no longer deny it, if we can reach that point of critical mass, you will see the dominoes fall. This is the deciding issue that could yet change our reality for the better. If we can simply join together and win this fight, we would have a chance.
And I would tell everybody one more time, if you're looking for this information to educate yourself, please visit our partner site, a great partner, Dane Wigington and geoengineeringwatch.org. I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been another The Liberty Beacon special, brought to you by the Liberty Beacon Project and broadcast on the Liberty Beacon Network. Good night.